Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of White Wine Question Time, something from the cellar, where we take you on a little trip down to the cellar to revisit some of our finest vintage conversations. And this week, as we watch 2023's jungle antics unfold, we're going to be looking back at some of the best moments with some former jungle VIPs in White Wine Question Time's history. And trust me, you're in for a treat. First up, we have an I'm a Celeb King and Queen. Yeah, royalty. Two former contestants who fell in love working on the show and are now married and have three children together, bringing their blended family to six kids in total. Here, Joe Swash and Stacey Solomon share how their romance started with a lot of flirting, an awkward kiss, and a crab impression.
The first night I realised that you two were together, we were at a friend's 40th, and I literally was in a lift with you two, and then when the penny dropped that you were together, oh my God, I could have taken the roof off the lift. It's so lovely.
Do you know, it's really weird when people say, oh, I don't know why you didn't think of that earlier. We're like, I know. it is the weirdest.
But you were with other people when you first met. There was a friendship that led to romance.
Yes.
And well, I think on Instagram, you've got 3.5 million followers between you. The audience here in the UK follow you as voraciously as they do Meghan and Harry. You're one of our favourite families to follow. Oh, I do. I think so. Don't you agree? Yeah. So what I wanted to know is...
They're drunk,
already. What I wanted to know is, could you single out three posts that you've made on Instagram that you think best represent your relationship so far?
Yeah, I think I thought of a couple.
Go on.
I mean, there's one...
Stacey looks scared.
I've got one photo on that I posted before we was actually together, and it was of me and you in Australia, just sitting next to each other. And I think that's a good start, because that's like the seed. And then... then there's Rex.
Oh, my God. We've only got started.
No, I wasn't going there. So there's one of me and Stacey together before we were together. Then I think there's a photo of us.
I haven't seen that picture.
Do you want to have a look?
The only one I remember was me pretending to be a crab.
What?
When we first met, we went down on the beach with like a couple of our
friends.
This
one?
Oh, yeah, oh God.
Remember that one?
Very flattering face. Well, we went down onto the beach and... I really pride myself on my impression of a crab. I think I'm really good at it. And for some reason, I think because I was embarrassed and also trying to be flirty, I thought the best thing to do would be to show my impression of a crab.
Oh, my God!
And all I remember from us first meeting was
I remember that.
Me crabbing along the beach.
I think you was actually crabbing along to another crab at the same time.
Oh, yeah,
time.
There was other crabs.
He was chasing
there.
The crab along the crab. That poor crab shit himself.
But at that point, did you start to think, I quite like Joe?
Yeah, I mean, even before I got to Australia, we were working together on another show, and I definitely thought, he's really nice and funny and a lot like me. And I did.
See, that's
so then you thought, I'm going to pull out that crab move in a minute. That'll seal the deal.
It's strange that she says that, though, because the whole time we was in Australia... I was openly flirting. I wasn't.
Yeah,
shy,
but I was. You just didn't recognise.
No, Joe, no, do you know what? Knowing you as I do, I would love to see Joe openly flirt.
I was openly flirting with her, but she was literally saying to me, "There's no point. There's no point. Stop flirting. There's no point." So
what?
She kept shooting me down, and now she's telling me that was her flirting.
I'm like, what? I didn't want to be too available. You know what it's like. And then to set out as well. But whenever when you've got kids, if you think something's going somewhere, I always feel the need to be like, I have two kids, a cat, a dog, and a really big mortgage. Do you still want to go out with me?
And, do you know what I mean? And like on that was like, I've got kids, a dog, a really big mortgage, and I want more kids as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah,
is that what you said, Stace?
Be up front from the beginning.
You went straight in.
I did, because I thought I really like.
Here's my terms and conditions.
Yeah, T's and
nice.
T's. Let me know if you fancy it.
Honestly, though, because that whole time in Australia as well, like, I thought, because Stacey was only there for 4 days, so I was thinking, I've only got four days. And we got to the last day, and nothing had happened. Like, she'd not give me a cent of anything.
Not even the crab.
Apart from the crab, which didn't really take us flying. I just thought, well, that's a bit strange, but we'll let that one go. So I thought, right, it was her last night in the apartment before she went, so I thought I'd knock on the door, and I thought, I've seen it on films before, I'm going to just go in, and I'll just kiss her. Just kiss her.
It wasn't like in the films,
Kate. It wasn't like that. Nothing like that.
I almost felt like I was being attacked. I was like... he said bye, and I said bye, and then I shut the door, then he knocked again, so I opened the door, and he literally just went...
So basically, I was just kissing teeth, like.
Oh, my mouth didn't move. Oh, wow.
And as I was doing it, I was thinking, I've really misread this situation. I've really misread this. And then she went home, and then I got a text from her on the plane home, and I thought, and she sort of, I can't remember what the text said, but he was like,
I think it was nice.
I think it was like, sorry, I didn't kiss you back, it was really nice. And wow. I thought, oh. Thank God for that. I was expecting a call from your boss saying, have you been sexually harassing Stacey Solomon?
You thought that there was going to be an HR issue.
I've got a problem here, Joe.
Oh, well, that picture really does mean a lot then. It was the beginning of a beautiful relationship. What about you, Stace? What's one of your pictures that you would say is seminal?
There's two that I think are pinnacle. Obviously, the first picture of... It's actually a video on my Instagram of Joe, Rex and I when he was first born. And I remember just, I've never been so in love with Joe. Oh, I mean, it's withered.
That went quite fast.
It changed like 24 hours
later.
Honestly,
it was a little brief window of love and then it went.
I always look
for those 20 minutes, though, it was intense, days, wasn't it?
Honestly, whenever he's really upsetting me or annoying me or getting on my nerves, I scroll back down my feed and watch that video and I think, I do love him. I love him so much. I remember this moment.
She's so easily annoyed at the moment as well.
Yeah.
So there's that. Moment.
Sorry, no, that was it. And then there's one more recently, because for ages I hadn't put a picture up of Joe and I together, because you know what it's like, you get pregnant and then it's all about the
no,
kids.
What had happened, I was number one and then the baby come and then it's all about the baby, nothing's about me no more.
No. And then
true.
I took a picture of us and posted it, and I think the caption was something about, you know, I haven't put a picture up in a while, and I think it's one, because there's so much else going on, but two, because we momentarily dislike each other quite often these days. And I think it was just, it's a really honest depiction of life after having a newborn, is that I love you so much, but I also, you infuriate me. Do you know? Like that, like, love-hate relationship.
Well, that brings me really nicely to my second question, because that is based exactly around that and the honesty. And are there lots of parents in the room? Yeah, you can't just nod, it's a podcast. Lady, you have to make a noise.
This lady had a baby the same time as us.
Did you? Oh, yeah. Did you? And do you hate your partner?
Please,
you can
please
be honest.
Say you do.
Sometimes, yeah, so that'll do. We'll go with sometimes, Joe. It's not just you.
It's not all the time for me either.
Sometimes when Stacey's being nice to me, I can see she's doing it for gritted teeth.
No, I mean it. It's
but
just
you
hard.
Just hate saying it, don't you?
Oh, I love you.
Next we have the brilliant Vernon Kay, who pulled on his thermals to embrace the chilly climes of the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here Welsh castle. But the climate wasn't the only thing that took some adjusting to. So was having his longtime mates, Anton Deck, calling the shots and telling him what's what.
Well, you thought you were going to Australia, you went to Wales.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you know, Kate, when you get that phone call saying, we've changed our minds because of the pandemic, we're not going to go to Australia. We're going to Llandudno. Well, good luck with that. I'll do it next year. That was actually my response, because I was at work at the time in Berlin and I just put the phone down and they were like, no. And I'm like, oh, I ain't got time to deal with Wales. Crikey. You know, I'd literally been on ASOS and bought 12 proper pairs of shorts, you know, preparing myself for some time in the sunshine. and end up buying me, sending them back and getting thermals.
Been down to Millets instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for as many fleeces as one man can wear.
Oh, man.
It was lovely to see everyone have a chance to see you. That's what was nice.
Oh, thank you. Do you know, we've been involved in big shows, but you don't realise how big I'm a Celebrity is until you experience it. And the scale of it is, honest, Kate, it's immense. You don't realise the preparation, the thoughts, all the processes, and on top of it, you know, COVID protocols as well.
Oh, yeah.
It just blew our minds. Everything was thought of.
They had to literally build parts of that castle to create the set because it was just a ruin, wasn't it? It was.
Yeah, they had to rebuild parts of it because it was unsafe. You know, it was falling down. It was crumbling, and it was just bonkers. And I didn't realise. I kind of realised I was in it when they first poured the cockroach on us on the first Friday, and then I thought, and then I kind of came around. And I'm like, oh my god, there's Ant and Dec. Oh wow, this is it. This is I'm a Celebrity. You know, with these stinky, creepy crawlies all over. And they tell you that they don't bite, but they bloody do.
I bet they do. But you go, oh, there's Ant and Dec, like, you know, like you and I, they're our mates, right? So it's just weird. And suddenly you have to do that, like, oh, you're Ant and Dec now.
Yeah, exactly!
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that's such a good point. Yeah, you're like, all right, boys.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like, Dec, how's Ali? How's the baby?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to do all that and you can't because you're in the jungle.
You're so right. You revert to the telly Ant and Dec where everything's kind of, do you understand the rules? Yes, Dec, I understand the rules. Is everything all right, Vern? Yes, Ant. Thanks. I can't call you mate because people might vote against me because they think that you're plugging for me.
But, you know them so well. You were at their weddings, you know.
Yeah.
It's just an odd one, isn't it?
And I was surprised, actually, that when I came out, Dec said on air that, you know, we had a conversation before you decided to do the show and we talked about what it would be like and, you know, because I was a little bit apprehensive at first. And I was surprised that you mentioned that because you never hear the boys talk about, in Ant and Dec mode, you never hear them talk about themselves out of a TV studio or off a TV programme. So it was kind of him, it was him drawing a line between this is Dec personal relationship, Dec work relationship. And I thought that was quite nice. It felt really, really relaxing when we were just chatting.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference. And the thing is as well, I think you and I have both hosted big shows like that. So it's a bit like, you know, the curtain's already been drawn back in The Wizard of Oz. We sort of know. It's like when you walk onto Albert Square, you know that the top of the pop studio is just behind the Vic, that kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like the magic's gone. So I always, you know, I always thought that for me, I wouldn't be able to lose myself in the experience, maybe in the jungle, but not necessarily in Llandudno.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what we thought until we got there. Yeah. And there was a couple of days where I thought, Brian Dowling, I spoke to Brian Dowling because he's won Celebrity Big Brother twice, or he won the Big Brother and then he won Celebrity Big Brother. And he's he's a beautiful person. He's a great guy and he's a good family friend because Tess worked with him on SMTV.
That's right, when years Af ago.
And,
yeah.
Kat and Ant and Dec left, Tess and Brian were on SMTV. So I said to him, Brian, I need some advice. So what's it going to be like? And he went off on one for about half an hour and then he gave me an answer 45 minutes later. And I'm going to change the word because obviously, you know.
You can swear, don't worry.
No, but my kids will probably end up watching this or someone will tell me, Mum, that of what I said. So I'll change the word.
Don't upset Gladys.
Yeah, exactly. And he said, what you've got to realise is once you get in there, you establish really quickly who's there for Instagram likes, who's there to cause a fuss, who's there to really stir the pot and get people talking and people bitching. He said, and there's always one person who's a...
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, right. He said, you'll find that person really quickly and that's the person you've got to watch. And he said, if you can't find her, then it's you.
Did you find him?
No! So I'm like, the one moment around the fire and it never went out. And I said to them, I told them the story. I said, listen, Brian Dowling said that if you can't find the... then it's you. So I said, I apologise because there's no one here who's the... So it must be me.
It's
and everyone started
me.
Laughing. But it was, I think it was great because everyone's careers in I'm a Celebrity were established. So no one had really anything to prove.
No big agenda.
No big agenda. No one needed to prove anything. You know, we had real strong, powerful women in there. You know, Beverly Callard was very open about her mental health. Victoria Derbyshire was very open and honest about her cancer.
Gee, it just is everyone's mum, isn't she?
Exactly. And she took that and played that role. Didn't play it, but that role came natural to her. And then you got Ruthie, who had a bit of a wobble, but I think it was the realisation that she's done nothing but perform all her life. And she just needed to find out who she was. And that's what I'm a Celebrity enabled her to do, was slowly start to get back to the actual real Ruthie Henshaw. I mean, the woman is amazing. She's achieved so much on stage. Yeah. Oh, Kate, you will not believe the sing songs. Unfortunately, they couldn't play the songs out that we were singing. But you've got Russell Watson, you've got Ruthie Henshaw, and you've got Shane Ritchie, who's you know, done Grease and is as mad as a box of frogs, all performing at once. It was like, do you know what? We could sell tickets to this. This is a thing right here. And then Jordan, obviously, in the background going, I don't know what you're singing. What song is this? So it was a proper laugh, and it was just nice to... I felt so relaxed. You know, in answer to your question, which was ages ago, I just felt so relaxed. So it enabled... The castle enabled me to just be normal, I guess. But Shane said, you've got to be careful because you can't pretend to do anything in the castle. You can't act. You can't be someone else because you'll get found out very quickly. And that's what those shows do, because apart from where you do your ablutions, there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. Years and years ago, probably 10 years ago now, I hosted a show that Shane was the contestant on, and it was horrific for the contestants. It's called 71 Degrees North.
Oh, my God! Were you with Shane on that?
I was the host.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yes, you were. Oh, my God. He told us about that show. He told us about that.
Oh, my God. Honestly, what those guys went
but
through.
But that was the first series, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then because I did it. I did it with I didn't know what we were going to. I'll be really honest, Fern. I'd seen like the Norwegian version and it was Norway's number one show. But that's their environment. You know, that's what they're used to. So and I was like, oh, I can't do it. And I turned it down like two or three times. And they kept coming back saying, we really want you to do it. And I said, I can't leave my son. He was like 18 months. Anyway, long story short, take an 18-month-old to the Arctic, to the North Pole. What? Yeah, insane. With my mum and dad took 6 weeks off work to come and help me. And anyway, it was quite a challenge. That alone was a challenge, but what they had to go through. And I'd get the scripts every day. So you know when you're like, your scripts will come through, you go to the script meeting and you go, sorry, it says here that we're going to, they said they've slept in a tent all night and it's minus 34. And then today we're going to cut a hole in some ice and make them swim for under the lake. Is that what's happening? And they're like, yeah. And then at lunch, you're like, we're doing that before lunch. I mean, he was so pissed off.
Well, Shane said that it got to the point where it no longer became a TV show and it actually became a game of survival. He said that they were trading parts of percentages of their fee for the other contestants to vote them off. All right, well, I'll give you 3.5% of what I'm on if you vote for me to leave. Well, nah, well, what do I get? Well, I'll give you 4.5%.
Finally, we have Toff, Georgia Toffolo, the made-in-Chelsea star turned jungle queen turned author. Well, frankly, she can do it all. And in this episode, she ran us through her new ventures as a published author, as well as her unlikely intergenerational friendship with jungle campmate Stanley Johnson, Boris's dad, which, if you're interested, is still going strong, unlike Boris's career in politics.
I have been seriously writing for the past, well, it's just been over a year now, and I have got confirmation that my first fiction book is going to be published.
Well done, Toff!
Yeah, I know, thank you so much. I'm really, really proud of myself. And I didn't tell anyone. You're the first person that I've actually publicly told.
What's it called? What's it about?
It's called Meet Me in London. And I wanted it to be, because, you know, with my reading, I like something with quite a happy ending. I don't like anything too heavy. Something that I can just read, you know, lying in bed, that takes me to a different world. And it's basically about four friends who have been friends for years, and just about boys and stuff like that. But yeah, so that was a really, really big bit of good news for me. Cause to be honest with you, I thought that everyone would just think I was a bit of a joke as a writer. So yeah, it's quite a big one for me. But yeah, it's just been the most amazing experience. So it's all my ideas, and most of it's written by me, but I've had a really lovely lady who's helped me. So yeah, I'm really excited.
Wow, Toph, well done. Is she more like an editor that kind of writes more than an editor would? What's the process?
Completely, exactly that. And more at the end of the phone all the time, giving guidance, because I come up with all these wacky ideas. And actually, because, you know, I don't know, I'm George Toffolo. This is how I live my life. I think everyone wants to read that. And actually, you need a bit of that to make it personal. Mm. But it isn't an autobiography. So you need to incorporate experience that perhaps I've never had, nor even read about, to make the book appealing to lots more people, not just a small bracket of society. Yeah. But it's just been the most wonderful experience. And I've learned so much. And I'm so excited.
Toph, that's pretty huge. So you went out and you pitched this on your own with an agent. How many knockbacks did you get? So many questions.
Loads, obviously. But it's really weird. I was at my friend's book launch, and I got talking to this lady, and I was like, yeah, I really want to do this. I kind of want to do, it's my friend Sophia's book launch. I was like, God, it's my dream. I've been hammering away. It's what I really love to do, like boring this lady over a glass of wine. And she was like, well, actually, I'm quite high up at HarperCollins. I was like, oh my God, my stars have just aligned. So I just kept on badgering her. But I think the way that I got it is that I showed how passionate I was when I didn't know who she was, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think from that, that did give me, you know, a good in. And it's risky, you know, for like someone like HarperCollins, Mills and Boone, who I'm writing for. It's, you know, they've never had anyone like me write under them before. HarperCollins has, but Mills and Boone hasn't.
So you're writing a Mills and Boone book?
Yeah, that's why it's got the lovely happy ending.
Oh,
I just never thought of it, because of course, it's not my generation. Like, I missed Mills and Boone ever so slightly. I knew about it.
Oh my God, it was so my grandmother and my mum's generation. I mean, for people that don't know what it is, how would you describe the Mills and Boone back catalogue?
Well, I've got one right in front of me, actually. I have books piled up to the ceiling next to my bed. So they can have they're a little bit risque, but not, you know, there's a bit of sexiness in there.
Always romance,
always
right?
Have a really... Yeah, a bit of romance.
Always
bit
romance.
Bit of hanky-panky. I don't know that many people around my age would know much about a Mills and Boone
Good God, no.
novel.
No.
But I think they would really enjoy them, because it's the type of reading that you don't stress about. You sit, you indulge and enjoy. You know, you don't go on an emotional roller coaster like you do some fiction books, which I think at the moment, I know lots of my girlfriends would actually love to sit down and read a bit of literature like that.
So Toph, you could be the new modern face of Mills and Boone. You're like the new Barbara Cartland.
Can you imagine?
That's amazing.
And I just love that it's got a bit of naughtiness in it. It's just so me.
It's so
like
you.
Right, oh my God, Kate, you would have died. I had to have this meeting about what they were calling a willy.
What?
And they were, so we had to have a meeting, and it's really serious. And I'm looked after by two guys. So they're sat there with all of us women talking about whether we call it, you know, a cock or a dick. And I'm going, should we not just call it a willy? And they're like, no, that's not very sexy, Georgia. I was like, oh, okay.
So what do you call it?
I'm not telling you yet, because I'm going to do a little press piece on it.
Right.
But yeah.
But it's none of the ones that you've just mentioned. Now I'm really getting my...
It might be one of the ones that I've mentioned.
Wow.
It might be one, yeah.
So you have to have a meeting about things like that.
I know, I was crying. It was so funny.
Do they ever talk about a lady's garden, for example?
No, but I would have been for that, because I'm a bit old-fashioned. Like, I think it was kind of funny. It's like a way of saying something. I don't know, but no, none of that.
No?
I think we've got to modernise slightly.
Okay. Maybe you can modernise Mills and Boone. Oh, my God. So the three good things that happened to you of late, I mean, you could have put Monty in there as well. I mean, I think the summer dress might... as lovely as it is.
Monty gets... The far too much airtime.
Yeah. Right. So the summer dress, a bag of flour, and a new career as an author for Mills and Boone. Wow, Toff.
Yeah. Really exciting.
Did you?
Quite nice to talk about it.
It's lovely.
Not with my family.
Yeah. And did you have a chance to tell your granddad about this?
Yes. Yes, I told him about it because, I mean, this has been going on for probably about 4 months now. And he was so thrilled. He's always said, you're very intelligent. You know, you need to write books. So I said, oh, I've done it. And I dedicated the book to him.
Oh, that's so lovely, Toff.
Yeah, he'll be happy.
And what about the other kind of grandfather figure in your life, Stanley? Did you speak to Stanley about Mills and Boone?
Yes, I told him. I remember when I signed my contract, I saw him in the afternoon. He's thrilled. He's getting those books. Yes, I know those. I think, Christ, Dan. I wonder whether he's read a few. He's quite well read. I wouldn't put it past him to have read a Mills and Boone novel. But yeah, he was really thrilled. Yeah.
Oh, and do tell me, how is he and is all well with the Johnson family?
Yes, he's great. We were speaking, like, we normally speak once every 2-3 days.
Yeah.
And then when Boris went into hospital, I missed his FaceTime that afternoon. So I thought, you know, he must have the world trying to contact him. So I left it a few days and I just sent him a message and he said, hi, Toff, all right. But he's fine. He's happy because he's down in his farm on Exmoor and he's got his family around him. So yeah, Stan seems all right. He was telling me the other evening. He said, Toff, you're not going to believe it. I said, what, darling? He said, I've got fish and chips delivered on the farm. He said, you know what's best? They're so cheap down here. I thought, oh, right, Dan, whatever makes you happy, darling.
Oh, but yeah, you're right. He must have had the world calling and I think we were all willing his son to get better.
This is the thing, and I think, you know, we're so close. I don't need to be on at him all the time. So, you know, whenever I call him, he calls back straight away. I just thought, you know, needs a little bit of space. But yeah, he's fine. Thrilled that Boris is all right.
I'm so thrilled that your friendship has sustained from the jungle because you genuinely love Stan, don't you?
I love him so much. And I mean, I've always had this thing. I don't really choose my friends based on ages. Lots of my friends are in their 50s, 60s. And I just forget that he is like 55 years older than me. we have the same sense of humour. We like going for a long lunch. Having a bit of wine is our favourite. And just having a bit of a laugh. And I think, you know, some people sometimes rule out friends because there are different ages. And I think there is so much to gain from having an intergenerational friendship. But honestly, Stan behaves as though he's my age. So, yeah, I just think I was very lucky that I was thrown in that jungle with him. The thing that I love about Stan the most is just his life experience. And he really, if I ever come to him, I don't know, with any problem, he really puts things into perspective because he's probably been through it before. Mm. And I just think, oh, I'll be all right. You know, everyone has that problem at some point in their life.
I mean, you were hilarious. On Celebrity Hunted, he was so giving the game away. Thanks. For somebody that was supposed to have been a spy at some point in his life, he was rubbish.
Oh, yeah. And have you noticed, because I adore him so much, I just go, yeah, right, Stan. And then I just get in the car next to him and he does what he wants. Yeah. How can you tell a 79-year-old man what to do? There's just there's no point. He'll listen to me and he'll go, yes, Toff, you're right. And then just do the opposite. So I just get on with it. But we treated it like a little holiday because in our minds we're thinking, well, we've got to raise money for this charity. That's the big one. And we've got to carry on going. So in our minds, we're thinking, well, we've got to have as nice a time as possible.
So people who haven't seen the show, just so they know, it's not a holiday. You're supposed to be hiding from the police and you're supposed to be going off grid. Right, you're supposed to be off grid and everyone was going, well, Toff and Stan will do all right because he used to be a spy. And no, what does he do? He goes to a cash point, he gets money out and uses his mobile phone. I mean, like, you're automatically trackable.
I know, but then the whole cash point thing, I was saying, oh, Stan, don't do that. It's really foolish to draw out money. But then on the other hand, I'm thinking, well, actually, I wouldn't mind a long lunch. So it's one of those things where I was a bit like, I'm going to turn a blind eye, but say that I'm against it, knowing that he's going to do it anyway. I mean, these hunters, we were running circles around them. We had the longest lunch every day. The one saving grace, we did keep on moving quite quickly. So I think that's why we didn't get caught as early as we probably should have. we had a lovely time.
Thanks so much for joining me this week for another trip down to the cellar. And if you'd like to hear any of the episodes that you've just sampled in full, just search by the guest's name in the search bar. In the meantime, I'll be back on Friday with a brand new guest. Until then, thanks for listening.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network. Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.